Yeah, we will.
Thank you.
Good evening, supervisors. Good evening, staff. Good evening, Loudoun. I'd like to call to order the November 9th, 2016, Loudoun County Board of Supervisors public hearing. If anyone in the room needs hearing assistance, please see the clerk to my left. Would everyone please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members of the public wishing to speak on any item in this public hearing, if you've not already done so, please sign up with the clerk to my left. All members of the public who have signed up to speak will be allotted 2.5 minutes. We ask when your name is called, please come to the podium closest to you and state your name for the record. The timer on the podium will indicate your remaining time. When your time has expired, we would ask that you please yield to the floor to the next speaker. Mr. Myers has given me, a goal of being out of here by 7 o'clock. Ha!
We can do it.
All right, so we're going to take, we'll take up item number one. Will staff please join me at the table? Where's Suzanne? Hello, we're ready if you are. I think we're probably pretty good in this item, though.
No update to the item, ma'am.
Okay. Does anyone have questions for staff? Mr. Buffington, seeing that this is your district, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move this board to suspend the rules.
Second. It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Mr. Buffington?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the sale to qualified ADU certificate holders of county-owned affordable dwelling units located at the following addresses: 42271 Tack Room Terrace, Unit 11B, Aldi, Virginia 20105; 42275 Tack Room Terrace, Unit 11D, Aldi, Virginia 20105; 42279 Tack Room Terrace, Unit 11F, Aldi, Virginia 20105; 42283 Tack Room Terrace, Unit 11H, Aldi, Virginia 20105. These sales shall be contingent upon the receipt of contracts from the purchasers acceptable in the form to the county attorney. I further move that the chair, the vice chair, the county administrator, or his duly authorized designee be authorized to sign the deeds to the purchasers. Said deeds shall be approved as to legal form by county attorney, who shall be authorized to execute all necessary collateral documents at settlement.
Been moved and seconded, and I do apologize. I have not asked if any members of the public want to speak on this item. Are there any members of the public? That's very good, because I'd have to make Mr. Buffington do that all over again otherwise. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? That motion will pass 9-0. She's here. She's here. Item number two. Yes, staff.
Chair Randall and board members, this is an amendment to Chapter 1450 of the County Code. It's the corollary to the changes you made to Article 7 at the October public hearing. And it affects the administration of the ADU program. It excludes application of the chapter to low-income housing tax credit and HUD 221D4 programs.
Thank you. Supervisors, do you have any questions for staff? Mr. Buffington, you have a question?
No, ma'am.
Seeing none, are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, Ms. Volpe, this is the ADU item. Would you like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I'd love to make a motion, but my item number two has no attachments, so I can't get into it.
Okay, I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
The Board of Supervisors to suspend the rules. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I move that the Board of Supervisors approve amendments to Chapter 1450 of the Codified Ordinances of Loudoun County as reflected in Attachment 1 of the November 9, 2016 Public Hearing Staff Report. Been moved and seconded by Mr. Buffington? Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion would pass 9-0. Item number three. I think I did. Okay. Okay. Hi. All of them?
Yeah.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
We're ready.
This item concerns comprehensive amendments to Chapter 1066 of the Codified Ordinance, Private Sewage Disposal Systems. In the in your packet, page 30 to 31, or in the item, pages 3 and 4, is items, 17 items that had universal agreement between the stakeholders and staff. In your packet, 31 to 38, item pages 4 through 10, were 10 items that did not enjoy universal agreement between stakeholders and staff. The county attorney has reviewed the item and has opined that localities do have the authority to develop on-site sewage ordinances. Staff is happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Supervisor, do you have any questions for staff? Seeing none, we have speakers on this item. Mr. Matthew Kroll, you are speaker number one and number two, so it's not sure how that happened. So we're going to just go with one.
Do I get 5 minutes?
Not mine. No, you cannot. Good try, though. Not on mine.
Hi, I'm Matt Kroll, and I represent tonight MVBIA in Loudoun Chapter, and here to speak to you tonight on the proposed changes to 1066. First, I want to thank Ms. Kennedy and staff for their time and effort over the last years in getting to a proposal that is somewhat a compromise. Unfortunately, the proposed changes by staff do not address industry concerns that 1066, as written, would require design standards that exceed state code. MVBIA opposes any regulation by Loudoun that exceeds the minimum requirements by the state. Staff will tell you that the county has the right to restrict design standards as long as they don't ban a specific system. In other words, if a system doesn't meet standoff to rock or water table, then a different system can be used. This may require a buried system to be converted to an above ground system, which would add the cost of approximately $10,000 per unit. One might consider that a small cost to be absorbed by a home builder, but it's not that simple. See, the cost of a home is relatively fixed based on market conditions. Home builders operate on a very simple equation. The price of a home is market driven, period. The cost of the land plus the cost to construct plus profit equals the cost of what we can sell homes for. If the cost to construct is higher because the health department requirements in Loudoun add $10,000 per unit, and in effect comes off the price a developer is willing to pay for the price of the land. Therefore, the underlying landowner would be paid less for their family property. This really only affects the land in the west, which is outside the sewer service area. But those underlying landowners are silent in this discussion because they're unaware that these changes as proposed would cost them $10,000 per developable lot. My request tonight is that the Board of Supervisors consider directing staff to reconsider any requirements that exceed state minimum standards. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Al Van Hyke, followed by Eric Zicht.
Hi, Al Van Hyke, Chair of the Loudoun County Preservation and Conservation Coalition. I'm here simply tonight to support the County Health Department and to urge you to follow their guidance on these 10 points of disagreement. Simply put, the County Health Department wishes to provide a margin of safety for the county and its residents, while others, as we just heard, wish to cut back the regulations to the absolute minimum in order to save money in construction or maintenance. The history of the county includes many examples of adverse effects of failing on-site sewage disposal system. Hamilton, Aldi, various locations in the limestone overlay come to mind, and recently the historic community of Willisville had failing systems. In all cases, there is a public financial cost and or private personal cost in mitigating the problem. Don't compromise on the regulations. Support your staff's professional judgment. There was one point, and I think there will be another speaker on it, that we had not considered, and that is how to accommodate on-site systems for historic buildings. But finally, we wish to commend the health department and Jerry Franklin and Gwen Kennedy for conducting a series of input meetings with specific stakeholder groups. Homeowners were invited to a stakeholder group and did know the problems. Our coalition was invited to sit in on these stakeholder groups. And I suggest you ask the staff here tonight to describe their approach to public input from all stakeholders prior to the public hearing process you're going through tonight. I believe it can be a model appropriate for ZOAG and others who prepare regulations for the Board of Supervisor action. They brought developers together, they brought the homeowners together, the businesses that provided the actual work on the ground, and the conservation community. And they had a series of meetings, and then they put it together and brought us all back and settled it, and many things were settled during that process. There's only these 10 issues, and on these, we strongly support the staff, and I hope you will too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Van Hyke. Eric Zeigt, followed by Ken Carborough.
Madam Chairman, and members of the Board of Supervisors, my name's Eric Zeigt. I'm a civil engineer. I've been practicing in Loudoun County since 1986. Well, I have a different perspective on the regulations than my predecessor here, Al Van Hyke. I do share, and my purpose tonight is to compliment Loudoun County as represented by these two fine people, Ms. Kennedy and Mr. Franklin, whose names appear very warranted. They handled themselves extremely well when handling controversial items. They listened carefully, considerately, were open to making changes, and even suggested various options. It was, I thought, an excellent model for future rulemaking endeavors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ken Carborough, followed by Robert Shuey.
Hello, I'm Ken Carball. I'm a private consultant here in Loudoun County. I've been working in this area for about 15 or 16 years in the public capacity and the private capacity as well. And excuse me, I'd like to thank you all for giving me a few minutes to speak. I commend the health department for the process that which they've come up against for these regulations. There's a lot of outcry against enforcement beyond the state minimum standards, and I'm not going to get into that. I don't have enough time. But a few comments that I have to make on the proposed changes, one of which seems very small, but a required backhoe policy. Any lot that I would do a septic inspection a septic permit on for development, if it requires a backhoe, adds about $1,000 to $1,200 to the consumer. Now, for an individual single lot, most of the time it's not required, it's not needed. If you're doing multiple lots or a property, for instance, has more than one dwelling, it certainly becomes warranted, and it helps aid the health department in getting the job evaluated quickly and efficiently. But I think that there needs to be a well-defined waiver for single lots. So it helps individual homeowners get that permit done easily, quickly, effectively, with less cost. The other comment that I had was for slope restrictions. I think we should maintain the state minimum standards. Limestone Overlay District is kind of a touchy situation here, but I think there needs to be a provision for the ER study to be waived for people with existing properties that have failures, and I've dealt with that recently. Most of the time, the failures are require extensive systems in order to compensate for poor soils, limestone soils. And requiring an ER study for an existing lot of record, existing building, if there's no change of use, I think that that should be waived. I recommend a utility setback from power wires, buried power lines, we can call it, service to wells. Currently, there's no setback from a well to a utility within the state or the county. I think that's a safety issue for people who are going back out to service these wells. And I think time is up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Robert Shuey, followed by Jim Bingle.
Chair Randall, supervisors, regarding the amendment to the sewage disposal systems, I have interest on both sides of the issues. I support the staff's proposals. I monitor five local streams for benthic invertebrates and for E. coli, and I know the need for clean water. I don't want any compromises made there. But as a preservationist with Loudoun Preservation Society and especially the Lincoln Preservation Foundation, I would like to encourage some leniency when a group is trying to restore or repurpose or preserve an historic building. In Lincoln, we're trying to preserve a 130-year-old, beautiful stone African-American church building that sits on a small lot beside a cemetery with a steep drop-off behind it. County staff came out and agrees there is no room for a septic field, so we need to go through a system to request a permit to put in a pump and haul. So this is distinct from the type of specifics you're addressing here, but we hope there will be leniency built into it. So when we want to preserve one of these important historic buildings in the county, there will be a way to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Jim Bingle's the last speaker on this issue.
I want to start my remarks by commending the staff on their process. I thought it was fantastic, and I really strongly encourage you to think about adopting it. It was wonderful to have each stakeholder group meet with staff separately to address all of their issues. Then staff went back, worked on it, and brought everybody together again before they even started this process. I can think of how many situations where we could have avoided a lot of problems if that process was adopted. So, okay. Specific issues. Definitely support the county's adoption of stringent regulations per what the state allows. So for issue number one, using the higher standards, conducting 100% of inspections of installations, and including those on steep slopes, maintaining at least 18-inch, that's not separate. But I did also want to say that I wouldn't support a reduction in the standard in the limestone overlay district. I want to tell you that the proliferation of septic systems in western Loudoun County was brought before the Water Resources Technical Advisory Board when I sat on it over 10 years ago as an issue. The USGS was looking at how many holes were in the ground at the time, both wells and septic. And I think that for western Loudoun County, I can't think of a more important resource than the groundwater, because everybody needs it in order to have a home that they can live in or a business that they can continue. So protecting that groundwater resource is of the ultimate concern in western Loudoun County. So to the extent that your staff is trying to protect that resource, I encourage you to really strongly listen to their recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bingle. Would anyone like to make a motion? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Higgins and Ms. Volpe have questions for staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the issue of historic structures and trying to get some, I don't know, leniency or waiver, is there a process in this? In these regs that would address something like that?
No, we haven't addressed historic structures other than the waiver process we would normally have is built into the ordinance for any residence or any place that there would be an on-site sewage disposal system. So any waivers to the ordinance would be subject to the discretion of Dr. Goodfriend.
I think one of the proposals in this change to 1066 is that explicit waiver process, which we don't currently have in 1066. And while we don't explicitly talk about the basis for that, for approving that waiver, easily that would be one that someone can come forward with as a rationale for why some of the conditions should be waived.
So a historic project or property like was mentioned tonight, they could come in and apply for a waiver under the current reg or the proposed regs and be able to address that situation.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Ms. Volpe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will follow up with a question. I know a lot of folks this evening have been talking about Western Loudoun, Western Loudoun, Western Loudoun. We do actually have some of these situations in Eastern Loudoun, and I have the perfect example, and I want to confirm it. I have a gentleman in Broad Run Farms, and they all have grinder pumps. He's actually a certified plumber and works for Wacker Plumbing. So I wanted to confirm that if something were to happen and he wanted to come in and get a waiver so he could do repairs on his own system, that he would be able to do that with you all.
We considered that real strongly in the stakeholders groups, and once we investigated it and contacted the Department of Professional Occupational Regulation, we found out that they don't allow it. So it's not, they don't allow people, unlicensed individuals who are not licensed to work on on-site systems, to do work on them. Unless they have a license, you can't do it. And so it would depend on his DPOR license. So if he has a DPOR license to do it, he can. If he doesn't,
it's my understanding he does.
Oh, well, yes, okay. That would be fine.
All right. And then my other question is under issue number 5, the connection to public sewer within 300 feet. My biggest concern, and I brought this up when we had our conversation today, is say, for example, someone has a 3-bedroom house and say they've been very blessed and have lots of children, you know, or want to add another, you know, bedroom onto their house. I would not want to require somebody to have to connect, say, to public sewer, you know, in order to add, say, another bedroom onto their house, say, for additional children. Or on the other hand, you know, if their aging mother or father needs to move in with them, would those items be also available to have the waiver process for them? You know, if there is enough capacity in their current sewage system.
Well, the waiver process is available to anyone to submit a waiver request. And we go through a number of thought processes as we consider a waiver request. So if something, for example, is a request that where they can continue to protect the public's health, mm-hmm. with that change, that's important. If their request is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan and what the county wants that individual to do in that circumstance, then that also helps with a favorable determination. Because as us administering the county's ordinance, we want to do what the county has as their vision for.
No, I understand that. I just wanted to make sure someone in that type of situation could also apply for the waiver.
Yeah, there's nothing that bars any individual.
I'm losing my time. I'm just saying I wouldn't want somebody to have to connect to public sewer because they want to add a bedroom to take in an aging parent. Thank you.
Yeah. So there's nothing that bars any individual from submitting the waiver request and then we do our best to evaluate that request.
Supervisors, after this item, I'm going to actually ask that we do a motion before we have this. Otherwise, we will be here for a long time. Mr. Letourneau?
Thank you. Let me just kind of take it up for a minute. So issue one where there's disagreement is this notion of intent. Can you give some examples of specific cases or circumstances where there is conflict between our code or our proposed code and state code? What are those conflict issues in which the more stringent would apply? And specifically, I guess I'm most interested in when is the county's more stringent?
Some of the most controversial examples are increases to stand off the rock and water table. So when you put in drain field trenches, for instance.
Pull your mic just a little closer.
When you put in drain field trenches, you have a certain amount of soil that's required between where that sewage is released and where the groundwater or rock is. And so the state has a certain minimum standard, and the counties are basically 6 more inches than that. And so that doesn't seem like much, but if you really don't have much soil, you may have to install a sand mound on top, like some type of mini mound that could add to the cost significantly. But the
what's the reasoning behind that requirement for us?
The research that was done on it was at Virginia Tech in the mid-90s, where they ran septic tank effluent and treated effluent through soil columns. And their determination from that was that you need at least 18 inches for septic tank effluent. But there were certain flaws that even the researcher noticed in his study, and one that was that the effluent was 100 times to 1,000 times less strong in fecal coliform than what normally comes out of a septic tank. Plus, they only took fecal coliform into consideration with that. They didn't consider some of the other contaminants of emerging concern that are coming to the forefront, such as pharmaceuticals.
So if anything, the research was conservative.
The research was...
It could be worse than...
Yes, it could easily be much worse than what the...
And while we still retain a more strict depth to rock or water table than the state, it's reduced from what it currently is. The proposal is we're actually, if there's pre-treatment, we've cut down the number of inches to water table from what's in existing in 1066. So I think it's 20.
So real quick, is that the only issue, or is that the main issue of conflict?
That's one of the main issues. The 300 feet to sewer was an issue. The 5-year pump out requirement.
No, I mean, where the county's more stringent than the state. Those.
Well, right. Requiring a connection to sewer within 300 feet is more strict than the state.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the list of the 10 things that are there.
Those are all more instances where the county's more stringent than the state.
Right.
We're not allowed to be less strict than the state, but we can be more strict.
Okay, thank you. We're going to, Mr. Higgins, would you like to make a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to make a motion if I can find the correct one. I move the Board of Supervisors forward amendments to Chapter 1066 of the Codified Ordinances.
You have to suspend the rules first.
What's that?
It doesn't have to suspend the rules. Okay, I'm sorry, go on. Nothing.
You want me to start over?
Yeah.
I have a motion. I move the Board of Supervisors forward amendments to Chapter 1066 of the Codified Ordinances of Loudoun County as found in Attachment 1 to November 9, 2016 public hearing staff report to the December 6th, 2016 Board business meeting for action.
And moved and seconded by Supervisor Buffington. Discussion on the motion, Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, would like to commend staff on the work that's been done on this. I know there's been a lot of time spent on it, and I have had the personal pleasure of a number of meetings to talk about these regs, not the least of which was the TLUC meetings. But to that point, I guess I'm a little surprised at the folks that came out tonight to speak in against these or with problems with these, because I thought we worked through that process in your stakeholders group, and this is the first I've heard of that. So I would offer that we want to move this to that meeting for action. It's a month from now. If those folks would like to reach out to my office and talk to me about their specific problems, I'd be glad to try to look at it, and if something needs to be done, maybe try to do something. But in the meantime, I don't want to stop the process. We've been at this for a long time. I've learned more about drain fields and alternate systems than I ever thought I needed to know. So with that, I would hope for
anybody else.
Thank you.
Mr. Higgins. I mean, Mr. Buffington. Again, I'm doing this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to thank staff for their work on this, and I'd like to thank Supervisor Higgins and his staff for their work on this. And question for staff, kind of follow up to what Supervisor Letourneau was saying, and one comment that you already made was that even though some of these are still more strict than the state requirement, we have lowered our requirement from what it currently is, or we're proposing to lower it from what it currently is to be closer to the state requirement. Is that's the case in the one instance that you mentioned? Is that the case in the other instances as well, or is there any instances where we're making it more stringent than our current requirement, and it's more stringent than state requirement? If I need to say that again, more simplified, let me know.
I can't think right off of any instance where we're making things more stringent than it is existing.
Okay. I just want also to express my support for the idea of a waiver for historic preservation projects, and I'd like to see something in there more than just we have a waiver process. So you can, I'd like if you could specifically mention that, or at least consider doing so before it comes back to the next board meeting. I would appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Boner.
Yes, just briefly. First, I do want to commend staff for the work. This is great work. I agree with staff's position on all 10 of the issues presented here. But I want to also clarify, and I'm going back to my memory banks, but I think it was in the fourth year or the last board's term, we modified the pump out requirement, if I remember correctly, where you could do an inspection at 5 years in lieu of a pump out. And I think it was like a 2-year inspection, and then you could do it every 2 years. Refresh my memory on that.
You're correct. You can, once you get to the end of the 5 years, instead of getting a pump out, you can go ahead and get an inspection done, and then it extends another 2 years. They have to file a report, and then that pushes it out 2 more years.
As long as you get that inspection every 2 years, and if a pump out's not required, you don't need to do a pump out, correct?
Right.
Which wasn't the case prior to us changing this. I think it was in 2015.
That's correct.
I also want to point out, I have a home with a septic system, and I recently had it pumped out. It was like $225. It wasn't like it was the end of the world, and I think there's folks that make this sound like it's a huge expense, but it's really not a huge expense, especially if it's something you do every 5, 6, 7, 10 years. Probably boils down to about $20 a year when you average it out. So I just want to put that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. And before I hand it back to Mr. Higgins, I want to say that it's not often I see people come to the boardroom simply to commend the staff for the process that you have worked through on an item. And I was aware that, you know, you all were bringing different groups together and going back and forth and having the discussion. So thank you very much for the process. I think it really probably is the way we should do business from here on out. So good job. Thank you, staff. Mr. Higgins.
I have no further comment.
No further comment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion will pass 9-0. Next item, number 4. Blue Ridge District. I'm going to say about most of these tonight. Yeah, that's true.
Good evening, Madam Chair, board members. What we have before you tonight is simply a technical requirement to repeal an old ordinance that governed the Aldie Sewer and Service District. That district has now been fully paid off. It was paid off in November of 2012. We're just seeking to remove the ordinance language.
Yeah, it strikes me that this language was before half the board was born. Literally. Especially Ron. Literally. And Karan and Matt, exactly. So, just under the wire. Okay. Mr. Buffington, would I can make a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, welcome. Darn it. It's been moved and seconded to the rules of be suspended. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Would anyone from the public like to speak on this item? Seeing none, Mr. Buffington.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the ordinance repealing the Aldi Sewer Service District as provided in Attachment 1 to the November 9, 2016 Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Staff Report.
Second. It's been moved and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion on the item? Mr. Buffington?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to say this is a great example of where government is doing what it said it was going to do. The Aldi Sewer Service District was created in 94 to pay for installation of sewer lines and sewage treatment facility. And now that that's been paid for, we're recommending to repeal that tax district. So I appreciate this item. Thank you to staff for bringing it forward.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? That motion will pass 9-0. Item number 5. Grant a permit utility easement to Novak Kirkpatrick Fire and Rescue Station. That's also the Blue Ridge District.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. Staff has no updates to provide. I would mention that in the event that you had a question specifically for Novak, we do have representatives of Novak in the audience today, if you'd wish them to come to the table.
Thank you. Any questions for staff or from a member of Novak? Mr. Buffington.
Could we bring Novak forward? I'm just kidding.
No. If you want to ask him a question,
in the interest of time, I really don't have any questions. I was just messing with Novak.
Okay. The question.
I move to suspend the rule.
Well, let me ask. Wait. Give me a sec. Anybody in the? We really are trying to get out of here by 7 o'clock, aren't we? Any member of the public like to speak on this item? Seeing none, Mr. Buffington.
I move to suspend the rules, Madam Chair.
That motion was made by Mr. Buffington, seconded by Mr. Sains. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Buffington.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the grant of permanent utility easement to Novak Kirkpatrick Fire and Rescue Station number 27 as shown on the plat included in Attachment 3. I further move that the chairman, the vice chairman, the county administrator, or his duly authorized designee be authorized to execute an easement and right-of-way agreement.
Second. I'm going to second that. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Buffington.
Madam Chair, this is about a Novak utility line right-of-way issue that is currently preventing final deed signature on Kirkpatrick Farms Fire Station and could cause delay in the construction of that station, causing a lack of right-of-way issue for future widening of North Star Boulevard per our CTP and preventing VDOT from accepting the existing section of North Star into its system for maintenance and upkeep. Tonight's approval from this item will fix all three of those items and help ensure timely completion of the Kirkpatrick Farms Fire and Rescue Station. I'd like to thank staff, Novak, and VDOT for working together on this item.
Thank you. I'd like to associate myself with Mr. Buffington's comments.
I like when you like to associate.
Anyone else?
I got 2 hours sleep.
Okay. No one else? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Anybody need a break? Are we good? Good. Very good. Item number 6. Interim agricultural and forestal uses, and my computer won't load. Blue Ridge and Catoctin, there we go. That's what I figured. But
I have a motion, or do you have a motion?
No one. Well, not yet. Okay, staff?
Good evening, Madam Chair and Supervisors. I have nothing to add to what is in the staff report.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions of staff? Ms. Volpe.
Thank you. Just one point of clarification for the public. Please confirm that the additions will be going into the existing district and then kind of finishing along with the same term that everyone else in the district has, correct?
That is correct, Supervisor Bolton.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. You're making a motion or you have a question?
I have a motion.
Okay. Well, I know. That's why I'm asking the question. Okay. So anyone in the public like to speak on this item? Seeing none. Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would make a motion to suspend the rules.
A motion has been made by Mr. Higgins, seconded by Mr. Buffington to suspend the rules. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion will pass 9-0. Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the Board of Supervisors approve Only the 2016 interim additions to the New Catoctin South, New Lovettsville, Middleburg West, New Bluemont, and New Ebenezer Agricultural and Forestal districts that are listed as numbers 1 through 12 in Attachment 1 of the November 9, 2016 Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Staff Report, and that the individual ordinances for these agricultural and forestal districts be amended to include such approved 2016 interim additions. I further move that the Board of Supervisors approval be based on the finding that after consultation with the Agricultural District Advisory Committee and the Planning Commission, all parcels recommended for addition to said existing agricultural and forestal districts contain agriculturally and forestally significant land.
Very good.
Amen.
Amen. It has been moved and seconded by Mr. Buffington. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Higgins? None? I don't blame you. Anybody else? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion will pass 9-0. Smart Kids Home Daycare Center. This is in the Blue Ridge District. You have anything? Oh, I'll wait till all the staff comes to the table.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Steve Barney, Department of Planning and Zoning. Staff has no updates to the application. In brief, the purpose of this application is to allow child care homes serving up to 12 children in a townhouse on a lot of less than 5,000 square feet in area and to reduce the required outdoor play area. Staff recommends approval of the application due to the minimal reduction of the outdoor play area and the proximity of a off-site play area within 750 feet of the subject property. County Attorney's Office has approved the conditions or has reviewed the conditions, and the application is ready for action. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Mr. Buffington.
Staff recommends a condition of approval that would restrict use of the driveway to drop off and pick up of children cared for in a child care facility home during hours of operation. Has that been agreed to by the applicant?
The applicant has reviewed that condition tonight, and they are available to speak to that.
Okay, we're not quite there yet, but let me finish questions with staff first. You may have a seat, ma'am. You can stay at the table. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear enough. Mr. Sains?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. You didn't answer his question, sorry.
Ask the question. Ma'am, could you push the button on your mic?
Yeah, okay. Mr. Buffington.
I can't ask her directly.
Not yet. We'll get there.
I
we're
going
to do staff right now, and if she wants to actually speak, she can have up to 10 minutes to speak, and you can ask her all the questions at that time. So right now, Mr. Sains.
Well, all right. Well, I guess I'll direct it to staff, and then if they can't answer, then if the applicant can answer when it's her turn to speak. How many kids do the applicant look to serve at their daycare, and what would the ages be?
They're proposing to serve up to four. My understanding is the applicant will be initially serving infants and toddlers, but later considering serving children ages 4 to 8.
And you said only four kids?
I'm sorry, serving up to 12 children, currently looking at toddlers and infants, but later serving children between the ages of 4 to 8. That's my understanding. Applicant can confirm later.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the vicinity map, can staff tell me why they've included the Homeowners Association play area? And the reason I ask that is I know there's an applicant that came in from my area, which we've yet not to see, because, of course, the Homeowners Association contacted, from my understanding, the county, and also sent the information to the homeowner who wanted to do the proposed business, saying that the HOA would not accept liability for the person running their business on HOA property.
Yes. The off-site play area is included purely for the board's information. The approval of this application would not rely on the outdoor play area. It would rely on modification of 60 square feet for the on-site play area.
Okay, I'm just going to follow up then again.
Sure.
why did staff then include the homeowner association play area and literally designate it, or was this provided by the applicant?
This was information provided by the applicant, but it should the homeowner gain approval from the HOA, it could be an additional play area option for the applicant, but the applicant has not documented that the homeowners association has allowed that area to be used as a play area.
So there is no documentation that the HOA would be comfortable with or approve of a commercial business operating on their HOA play area property, correct?
That's correct, and that's why the approval of the application does not rely on the outdoor play area.
Thank you. Anybody else? So I never know what to do with these applications for the home daycare centers, because Mr. Meyer said something one time that I thought was very logical, which is daycare is very expensive, and this both provides daycare alternatives and allows someone to do a home business. Both those things are great. However, it almost feels like, why do we have rules around it? Because every month there's, with all due respect, ma'am, somebody coming in for an exception. This one doesn't seem to be, you know, as significant as others, but I'm almost at a point of just saying I won't do them at all because there's no line. We had one that was, you know, pretty severe, and Mr. Letourneau worked a long time with the applicant. Perhaps, you know, if a supervisor wants to work with the applicant before they come in, I just don't. These are really tough for me. I'm going to agree with Supervisor Volpe. I think that having the HOA play area on the vicinity map was a little confusing for me. I didn't know why it was there. I would have assumed that the HOA had already said yes to that could be a designated area to use. I personally don't think it belongs on there until the HOA signs off on it, because that is a logical assumption seeing it on there already. So anybody else for staff?
Real quick.
Yes, Mr. Boner.
Yeah, just very quick to clarify this. If I remember correctly, last year we changed the ordinance because our county ordinance said up to 9 children, but the state code said up to 12 children. So we did a zoning ordinance amendment to align our ordinance with the state code, which allowed now 12. But in order to go from 9 to 12, it requires a minor special exception. And that's why we're seeing this large number of these applications. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes, with one addition, requires a minor special exception if it's more than 9 children in a single family attached dwelling or on a lot that is of less than 5,000 square feet in size, or if there was a neighbor complaint letter submitted during the zoning permit process.
But a single family detached would not require it?
Single family detached on a lot of at least 5,000 square feet in size where no complaint has been submitted would not require a minor special exception.
Okay, because I know we've had single family detached applications, so they must have been smaller lots, I guess, would be the reason, or a complaint.
Or a modification in outdoor play area.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am, if you'd like to speak, and I think there'll probably be questions for you, you have 10 minutes to talk about this issue in any way you'd like to. You can sit right there, or you can stand at the podium, and at the end of that, there may be some supervisors that have questions for you also. Okay? Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay. There you go.
Either way is fine. You can sit at the table or stand at the podium. If you're comfortable there, you may stay there.
Okay.
You may start.
My name is Kalevani Jagannathan, and I live in Brambleton, and I'm planning to start a daycare at my town home. It is attached single family, and it has total area is less than 5,000 square feet, and my play backyard area is the requirement is 900 square feet, but mine is 60 square feet lesser than that. But we have parking, I mean, the children's park, a tot lot within 1,000 feet from our home. So I have applied for 12 kids, requested for 12 kids. And also we have a parking area before our house. 6 parking lots are available, and we have 2 drive lines.
You have anything else you want to? Because what's going to happen now is some supervisors will ask you questions, and you can feel free to answer the questions they ask you. Okay, is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Buffington.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for you, ma'am. So staff recommends a condition of approval that you would agree to restrict the use of your driveway during hours of operation to drop off and pick up for the children.
Okay.
Do you agree to do that?
We won't use our driveway. We will park our either inside the garage or other parking lots. It will be free always, the 2 parking lots. It can be used for the pick up and drop off always.
Okay, so you do agree to do that?
Yeah. Yes.
And then I'm waiting on my item. I also believe this, I want to forward this to another meeting and not decide tonight,
okay.
So which would require you to agree to extend the critical action date.
Okay.
And I want to know if you would agree to extend the critical action date to December 6th for us to make a decision. Is that okay?
Okay.
Ma'am, what he's asking is if we don't decide this tonight, okay. If we don't make a decision tonight and we wait till December 6th to make a decision, is that okay with you?
Yeah, okay. Then that is fine. But can I get permission for night kids before that? Because a lot of inquiries are coming. I cannot accept only 4 kids. I cannot accept without permission.
It doesn't have to be okay with you. You can, if it's not okay with you, you can say no. You can say it is your choice.
Okay. Then it's okay.
It's okay? Okay. Mr. Buffington?
Okay. And just so you know, I'm going to have my staff come down and speak with you after this part so we can set up a time for me to come out and meet with you at your residence so I can see all of this in person.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am, how old are the, you don't have the kids right now, right? You don't have any, you plan to do this. You don't have a daycare as of
now. I started when I applied the permission for a zoning permit. Three kids are coming right now. So I want to extend this. I need to get permission.
Oh, I understand. Okay, so you have kids already.
Yeah.
And how old are they?
They are all toddlers, below 2 years. I mean, 2 years, 2 years, 1 month, like the toddlers.
So you have 9 toddlers right now?
No. I have only 3 or 4, sometimes 4, all friends' kids only. So once I get permission, I can get 9. I'm planning to get 9.
You plan to have 9 toddlers?
Right now?
No, you plan to have
toddlers. Toddlers, or if it is 4 to 8 ages, also fine. Any toddlers or...
So when you say toddler, you mean between 1 and 3? What's a toddler?
2.
2?
Yeah.
2 years old?
Yeah.
Or somewhere in that range?
Yeah.
So you're going to have 9 2-year-olds?
So,
That's the plan is to have...
9, yeah. If 4 to 8 year kids come out for after school care or like that, I will accept. But any point of time, I should have only 9 kids, right?
Okay.
So,
okay. Mr. Barker, are we able to take into account any children she has? That she has, or that can't be part of the discussion, if she has any children of her own?
Any children of her own under the age of 13 would be counted towards the total of 12 children.
Okay. Ma'am, do you have any children?
I have 1 kid, 1 daughter. She's 19, and she's doing
okay.
College.
Well, he's good. He's good. He's fine. Okay, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? All right, seeing none, Mr. Buffington, would you like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I would. I move that the Board of Supervisors forward SPMI 2016-0010 Smart Kids Home Daycare to the December 6, 2016 Board of Supervisors Business Meeting for action, and I would note that the applicant has agreed to extend the critical action date to December 6.
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Meyer. any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair, I would just like to put on the record that I agree with your comments, and it seems like this is happening continuously. And if it's just to move from 9 to 12, when that's the state law, I don't know why we don't change our regulations so that we don't have to do this all the time. Or we just stick to what they are and say no, if we can do that. So I just want to put that on the record.
Yeah. Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody still good? We'll keep going here?
Yes, please.
Okay. item number 8 is in the Broad Run District, MVA Development. Staff?
Thank you. I have no updates to the staff report other than the applicant has submitted the proper affidavits and the proper statement has been approved to legal form. The item is ready for board action and staff supports board approval, and I have a brief PowerPoint presentation should any board member like to see it.
Board members, would the presentation be helpful to you? No? Okay. Board members, do you have any questions for staff? Mr. Meyer?
Madam Chair, I'm ready when you are for a motion.
Okay, we're pretty far from there, though, because the applicant is here. And
yeah, I know. So I'm just saying you don't have to worry about me. I just have my light. That's why I have my light on.
Okay. He is ready. Good evening. You have 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know how this works by now.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Real quickly, my name is Michael Romeo. I'm a land use planner with Walsh Colucci. Just to reiterate what Jackie said, the affidavit from mailing and posting has been submitted. I'd just like to reiterate also that staff supports this and that you received a unanimous recommendation of approval from the Planning Commission. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Mr. Romeo, you didn't have to talk that fast. You have like 9 minutes and 42 seconds left. Does anyone have any questions of the applicant? Seeing none, are there members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, Mr. Meyer, would you like to make a motion?
See, we weren't that far off. I move to suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion was made and seconded by Mr. Buffington. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Mr. Meyer?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZRTD 2016-0005 NBA Development LLC subject to the proffer statement dated October 26, 2016 and based on the findings for approval in the November 9, 2016 Board of Supervisors public hearing staff report.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Ms. Volpe. Discussion on the motion, Mr. Meyer.
Simple zoning update for good commercial growth in the Broad Run District. Very proud to have the only revenue positive district. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to rub it in. I'm not going to rub it in anymore.
Look, can I hit him?
Yes.
Don't vote no. Just kidding.
Well, and you would think that he like built the district with his own hands. The way he says that, right? I mean, right.
Yes, in the 10 months we've been here.
Right.
It's been quite a 10 months.
27 years you've been alive. That's right. Ms. Volpe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, if you go back historically, since the airport has been here for quite a while, there are other times, like, God rest his soul, Supervisor Steve Snow, when the airport was in his district. His district was the only revenue-positive district in the county. I'm sure if we did some creative redistricting, we could even move the airport into the Catoctin district if Supervisor Higgins would like to have the most tax-positive district. So hopefully we can all just share in that benefit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm assuming nobody else. Would you like to have any last words? And nobody, I said last words.
I apologize. All your districts are great, I promise.
I agree. I agree. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Item number 9. Also brought, oh God, also in the Broad Red District.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Rick Hancock. I'm here with this sign development plan. It's been through the Planning Commission. The applicant actually made a change. Once it went through Planning Commission, it is for your approval this evening. I have nothing additional to add, although I do have a presentation if you would so desire.
Would anyone like to see the presentation? Seeing none, does anyone have questions for staff? Mr. Letourneau.
Yeah, the one thing that stands out that gives me some concern with this is the change to 548 square feet community future site signs. That seems a little much. Can you walk me through exactly what that is?
So these would be the signs that are essentially, let's see, that's sign number 48.
I don't.
You're referring to specifically sign
one.
Number one. So these are the signs that are basically posted in front of where the new park is going to be built. There's a public park, and then there's also a private park area, and that it most of it is a graphic on what this park is going to look like. And so
but each one of them is going to be 48 square feet?
Yeah, so it's a 9-foot high sign, it's 6 feet wide, and the copy is 8x6.
So there's like five, I mean, it's sort of like a billboard, five of them?
Yeah, but they're placed at essentially at the street frontage on each of those
parks.
So
what is our history with these type of signs? I mean, look, I'm usually not somebody complaining about signs. I'm not an anti-sign person. But have we allowed signs of this size?
On other residential projects, I would have to look at those, but the proposed sign plan is not inconsistent with other developments that we have approved.
But have we approved signs of this size? You don't know.
I would have to look on that.
I would like to find out, because 48 square feet is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going from 4 square feet, which is the code, to 48. So I don't think I've seen one that's had that type of jump in it.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Is there any member of the public who'd like to speak on this item? I don't think there's is there an applicant here? There is. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you come to the table, please, if you'd like to? I apologize. If you'd like to make a presentation, you have 10 minutes. You can sit right there. You can stand at the podium. And then afterwards, if supervisors have questions, they will ask questions of you.
I have no further comments on the application.
Okay. Thank you. What's your name, sir?
My name is Zachary Lett. I represent NVR. I'm with Land Planning and Design Associates.
Thank you. All right. And no members of the public like to speak. All right. Mr. Meyer, would you like to make a motion?
I would like to move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion's been made to suspend the rules and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say
aye. Hold on, discussion.
Oh, discussion. Mr. Letourneau.
Yeah, I'd rather not personally, just because I'd like to get the answers on whether we've approved these before. I don't know what kind of precedent we're setting here with this. We may not be at all, but I just don't know.
Okay. Well, we have a motion and a second. So, Mr. Bona, wait. I'll get there in a second.
One suspension. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to support it either. In the presentation, which I looked at before the meeting, it is 48 square feet from 4, but there's also 5 of them at every entrance. So that's how it reads, 5 per entrance in the presentation.
Then that is an error in the presentation that I put together, and so I would refer you instead to the appendices, which are very specific as to where each sign can be located.
On slide 4 of 8, sign, community future sign, size change, increase 4 square feet to 48 square feet. Number, mm-hmm. 5 instead of 1 per entrance is how it reads in on this presentation. So the way I read this is you would have 5 48 square foot signs per entrance, and that sounds crazy to me.
That is not correct. What would be correct and what would govern what is in their actual application, the sign development program that they have, including the maps that are very specific as to where each sign can be located. There are five signs total of this type.
Five total.
One on each of the street frontages for the two parks that are being built.
So this slide's not correct, is what you're saying?
Then that slide would not be correct.
All right, thank you.
Correct.
So we're still on discussion for suspension of the rules. Mr. Meyer, you have discussion?
I just have a question for the applicant.
Now we have a motion for suspension of the rules. So
can I use my time for a question to the applicant? That would be on the suspension of the rules.
Well, you're going to make a motion anyway in just a second on the actual motion if we suspend the rules.
Right, but it's on.
This is just on suspension of the rules.
It's on suspension, though.
Mr. Meyer.
So if we don't suspend the rules, it will require an extension of the critical action date. So that's what I'm trying to get my answer.
Okay. So you want to ask the applicant that?
Yeah. That's what I'd like to. Would you be all right if we went to the December 6th Board of Supervisors business meeting?
Yes.
All right. I will withdraw my motion to suspend the rules.
Okay. Motion is withdrawn. Who made the second? The motion, Mr. Johnson, just for the record. Okay, so you want to make a motion for?
Yes, I move that the Board of Supervisors forward ZIDP 2015-0007 Westmore Sign Development Plan to the December 6, 2016 Board of Supervisors Business Meeting for action.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe, I think, got that first. Discussion on the motion, Mr. Meyer? No? Mr. Letourneau?
Yeah, I would just ask that could staff provide us with, in the packet, kind of a history of these types of temporary signs and what the size of them that have been permitted and the quantity within an application. Since this is not a huge area, how many we've typically permitted in these type of developments?
Yes.
I think I'm just trying to understand where this fits on the spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Letourneau. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Item number 10, Prologis Park Gateway Phase 5, and this is in the Dulles District. Mine's just loading slow too today. All right, Steph, thank you.
We have no updates. We will tell you that the application has no outstanding issues, but we're just working with the county attorney and the applicant to finalize the proffer language.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Questions for staff? Is there an applicant here on this item? Oh, sorry.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Ben Wales. I'm a land use planner with the law firm Cooley. I'm here this evening on behalf of the applicant, joined by Bill Bumber of Prologis. I can confirm that all necessary notices have been given and affidavits have been submitted. This is a straightforward application. We have a zoning concept plan amendment to allow us to develop the site with the PDGI uses that it's currently permitted with, just making some cleanup amendments to a very old 1988 concept plan and a special exception for a vehicle storage facility consistent with the neighboring use. We do have staff recommendation of approval. We do have Planning Commission recommendation of approval. We'd be grateful for your support.
Thank you. Any questions? This is an interim use, correct?
Sorry?
This is an interim use?
There's a special exception use, which we anticipate being interim, that's at the back of the site. The rest, we're just trying to clean it up so we can develop by right uses.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anything else? Mr. Letourneau? Oh, I'm sorry. Any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, Mr. Letourneau?
Thank you. I'll make a motion and just brief comment after that. I move the Board of Supervisors forward ZCPA 2016-0002, Special Exception 2016-0013, Prologis Park Gateway Phase 5, to the December 6, 2016 Board of Supervisors Business Meeting for Action.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe.
Yeah.
Mr. Letourneau.
I have no issues with the application. I would note that item 2 in the staff support mentions that the applicant worked with EMWA on interparcel connections to shift, and they did indeed, and I know Mr. Reiser was involved in that discussion, and it was a lengthy and perhaps a little bit difficult issue to work out, but it has been worked out. That was kind of the outstanding issue here, so hopefully we're able to get the proffer statements all worked out, and we'll be able to move at the next business meeting.
Thank you. Anybody else? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Last item. Last item. Before we go to the last item, I did want to say that since we last met, the vice chair of the board has had a birthday. Oh. Mr. Bona, you are not getting older. You are getting better and wiser and smarter. And you still have all your hair.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
I knew it. Mr. Higgins? Mr. Higgins has something to say to you, Mr. Boner.
Point of order. You mean he's not going to get some old guy certificate like I did?
Well, I was going to wait to the business meeting when everyone was here before we gave him the old guy, when the room was full of people.
Oh, so we're going to do that next time. All right, I'm good.
The old guy certificate. So I just wanted to say that. Also, there's food in the break room. So if you guys want to make a, that's right. Actually, make a plate before you leave. You can feel free to do that. Item number seven. Yeah, your wife just tells us your wife. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, we are ready. Item number 11, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have anything new to update you on the comprehensive plan amendment or the zoning ordinance amendment. I just would note that in the report I indicated the zoning ordinance action group did have a comment on the proposal. They wanted to make sure that any necessary process changes were incorporated in the ordinance. At this point, we don't have any significant process changes, although we do intend to come back to you later with hopes of streamlining the process a little bit and taking advantage of some of the opportunities to shorten the process where we can. The ordinance and the plan amendment simply stipulate that we will comply with the new legislation 15.2.2303.4, and where it applies, we will limit our requests for information, our comments and acceptance of proffers based on the limitations of that district. And where we can, and we are proposing to take advantage of exemptions in the legislation to establish small planning areas encompassing the suburban policy area for the most part. And that's all I have. I'll be glad to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. I knew her light would be on first. Supervisor Volpe.
I don't have questions. I'd like to make a motion since I worked with staff on this. This is us implementing, workaround or however you'd like to call it of the proffer legislation from Richmond.
So I was going to go to you for the motion, knowing how much you've worked on this item and knowing that you're chair of TLUC, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
Mr. Saines?
Thank you, Madam Chair. More of a question. On page number 3, I noticed it, and it's always said Sterling/Potomac. How come it's not just Sterling Algonquian, or are you fine with Potomac?
Potomac is a reference to the community plan that's identified in the comprehensive plan in the general plan today. So it would, as we update the comprehensive plan, we'll probably realign the names of these areas. But there were 4 communities identified in the suburban policy area, and our intention was to align the small area planning boundaries around those 4 communities. One was identified as Potomac and Sterling, and then Ashburn and Dulles.
All right. Well, maybe it's a suggestion if Supervisor Volpe is okay with that, maybe changing it from like to Algonquian to reflect
under
down the road.
Under the circumstances, for the simplicity of this and executing this document to, let's say, shelter the suburban part of the county from the proffer bill, I'm more than happy with it continuing with the word Potomac.
Right. Well, like I said, down the road, maybe changing it, but that's fine.
Thank you. Supervisor Buffington?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question, are there any portions of the transition policy area that are within the suburban policy area, the small area plans, and if so, why?
There are several areas of the transition policy area amounting to about 260 acres that are transition policy area that are incorporated in the small area planning boundaries. That occurred, as we mentioned, when we came to the board to initiate the process. We were aligning the small area planning boundaries with the traffic analysis zones to make for ease of demographic projections and ease of analysis of traffic impacts and so on. So those traffic analysis zones do not strictly align with our policy areas. The areas in the of the transition policy area that are included within the boundaries include the Grange at Willowsford and the areas east of Goshen Road, which would be the John Champ High School, and the areas around the North Star Boulevard that, if you recall from your recent discussion of a rezoning and concept plan amendment in that near Braddock Road and North Star, most of those areas are developed as suburban communities already. So we're not, most of the areas that are in the transition area that are included are developed areas.
And I'm imagining we're not going to suspend the rules on that tonight. I would not support that. I just want to ask, if is there a more detailed map of those areas that I could look at before our next meeting?
We certainly can, yeah.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Merrithew, I actually went back and looked at my emails. I actually sent that question to you on August 4th. Where there was any part of this, was there any TPA in this area, and the acreage, and I'm not sure if I received an answer. You may, but tell me again how much of this is transition planning area.
Just 1 second. It's about 260 acres. I just had the GIS people run the numbers today. 261 acres.
So I'm going to agree with Mr. Buffington that I would not want to suspend the rules tonight because of that. I understand that it's already developed and much of it is suburban already, but my fear is this is how we'll lose the transition policy area, that we'll develop it and then change lines and then develop it and change lines and just see more and more encroachment into the transition policy area with the explanation that it's already developed. And I can tell you, developed or not, you know, if we start moving those lines, we're just going to keep pushing it. And I don't want to do that. And so I would like more time with this item, and I would not be in support of suspending the rules for that area. 260 acres is significant. It's significant. Understanding it's already developed and understanding what it is and where it's at, I get all that. I know what we're talking about. But it's still a significant amount of space, and it is not my desire to lose the transition policy area.
If I could just add one clarification as well, that the policies do not change the land use of either the transition or the suburban policy area.
I understand that, but this is how we start down the road. That's my concern. So I understand that, though. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this item? Yes. Ms. Bingle, you actually...
I didn't sign up. I wasn't sure if I was...
You didn't sign up. Can you go over there just to be a real quick sheet for me? We can wait a sec. We can sing Happy Birthday to Ralph if you guys want to. While we... Oh, wow. So you've heard me sing. Not pretty. You can't sing? He said you can't sing. He says he can't sing.
I'm sorry, man. You can't voice ask me.
I sing, but I don't sing well. I sing in the shower when it's around. Cherokee that I am. Well, yeah, alone. Everybody. Yeah, you can stop right there. Ms. Bingle, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. I appreciate the issue that you brought up, and I realize that this is a workaround for a tough situation for localities, and I guess I'm here only to comment on something that I see that sort of different issues coming together related to the suburban area, actually. And the fact that in Loudoun, we really want the development to occur around the stations at the Silver Line and in the Sterling area where we want to do redevelopment. With this, including all of the suburban area, plus the mixed-use business zoning district that basically applies pretty much in all of the suburban area. I'm oversimplifying, I realize, but there's a lot of mixed-use development that can occur in the suburban area beyond the metro station. And I worry a little bit about the pressure for excessive development in suburban Loudoun County, given that we are already increasing potentially the development quite a bit. And so looking at all of that together, I think, is a really important part of the comprehensive plan process, as well as the other issue that the ZOAG is looking at, which is the town center changes to the zoning ordinance. So I think I just raise it as something to pay attention to. What the development potential could be, and by signaling that it's okay all over suburban Loudoun might not be the message that you're intending. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bingle. Any other speakers? No? Okay, Ms. Volpe, I'm going to go to you for a motion because I promised that I would.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I'm actually going to throw one motion forward just to see the mood of the board. I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second. Motion has been made to suspend the rules. It's seconded by Mr. Meyer. Discussion on the motion? Mr. Buffington?
I absolutely oppose that. And remember what you're doing.
Thank you. Ms. Umstead?
Thank you. I agree with my colleague there, Mr. Buffington. I'll be voting against suspending the rules.
Anybody else? Okay. All in favor of suspending the rules, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. That motion will fail 7-2 with Mr. Meyer and Ms. Volpe voting in favor of it. Ms. Volpe, would you like to make another motion?
Yes, of course. I move that the Board of Supervisors forward CPAM 2016-0003, plan amendment to establish small area planning areas and to modify proffer policies and guidelines to the December 6, 2016 Board of Supervisors business meeting for action. And I further move that the Board of Supervisors forward ZOAM 2016-0012, zoning ordinance amendment to implement section 15.2-2303.4 of the Code of Virginia related to rezonings to the December 6, 2016 Board of Supervisors business meeting for action.
Motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Bona. Discussion on the motion, Ms. Volpe.
We're going to have a really fun meeting on December the 6th. And just to let all the folks out in the development community know, basically we've just delayed everything for a month. But thank you for your patience. Bye-bye.
Anybody else? No? Okay. No. Yes, Mr. Bone?
I would just say that we delayed it for a very good reason, and the transition policy area should not have been included in the small area plans.
Thank you. Ms. Umstead?
This is for staff. John, you had mentioned that I think most of the transition area that was being proposed for this was being proposed to be studied because of transportation projects. But when you do the map for Supervisor Buffington, could you make sure to also highlight the areas that are not being addressed because of transportation issues, but are in that other minority category you alluded to?
I'm not sure I understand that the distinction or the boundary is based on traffic analysis zones.
Right.
Not related to specific projects. I'm not sure what you're asking me.
All right. You had said, when Supervisor Buffington asked you what part of the, I think, 261 acres in the transition zone was being included because of transportation issues?
No.
You said most of it, but you didn't say all of it. And I'm interested in finding out, well, what part of the trend, what part of those 261 acres are not being included because of transportation?
All the transition policy area land that's included in the small area planning boundaries is included because it aligns with a traffic analysis zone. So it's all related to the traffic analysis zones. There's nothing relative to transportation projects or issues that dictated the boundary. But so I will show a map of detail property and traffic analysis zone boundaries so you can see why we made the decisions we made.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bona. I'm sorry, Mr. Letourneau was on first.
Thank you, Chair Randall. I do think we need a little more time on this because I'd like everybody to get more comfortable with it. That said, I'm not sure this transition area issue is really an issue because, first of all, as I understood what you said, I think the transition area parcels that are included in this have already been developed.
That's generally correct. When I show it in detail, you'll see there are some small parcels that are not, but the bulk are.
Well, I do want to see that. But I will say, if it's already been developed, then it doesn't matter, because the whole reason we're doing this is to collect proffers on future development. So if it's already developed, it's not going to be future development, and therefore it's not a threat either way. I mean, it's not changing anything. The question I have is really more, why are we doing it this way? And I think I know the answer to that. I think it's a question for Mr. Rogers, but is this really because in order to comply with the exemptions for the proffer bill, we need to essentially do this separate analysis, and we can't simply say our existing land use policy all fits in this category and we're done with it?
Essentially, that's it. I mean, what you have here is we're using good land use planning practices to define what the boundaries of each small area plan should be, and it's based on the transportation network in these cases.
So, I mean, I guess I would remind my colleagues that what we're doing is essentially, for lack of a better term, working around the proffer bill, and we're doing so in a way that needs to be able to withstand someone's potential challenge to it. And so if we simply take a rather mundane approach to it and say, this is our suburban policy area, boom, we're done, I think staff, perhaps we can discuss this more offline, has a concern that that would not pass muster. And so therefore, there needed to be a different approach to it. And so it sounds like what staff did was took the transition policy area parcels that are effectively no longer transition policy area because they've rezoned, and included them with the other parcels because they share the same characteristics and have the same transportation issues. And if that is the case, then that is very logical to me, and I think that's a good approach. But I respect everybody's need to understand that better, so let's do that and get that information. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bona, he said it all. You made the motion. Mr. Meyer?
Madam Chair, I would just say that we aren't changing any plans and we aren't approving any new zonings. This is literally just giving us a potential to use a tool down the road in these areas, and these areas are already developed. It's literally just exactly what Supervisor Letourneau said, for legal reasons to make sure that we are doing what you would normally do in a plan, and that's use a boundary line that makes sense. And so I'm not sure if this is really going to change much in the coming weeks, but I understand the concerns, and probably wouldn't have seconded the motion had I known them before. But what I'll say is this, is it's important for us to make sure that this isn't legally challenged. We're giving ourselves a tool in the future to actually change the transition policy area. It would have to be done in the comprehensive plan. And further, to approve a new zoning after that comprehensive plan is changed, we'd have to approve that rezoning. So there's lots of different steps before you get to development, and this is not even remotely close to one of those for the transition policy area.
Anybody else? So the motion is to forward this to the December 6th business meeting for action. I think we could be on the on a, I think there's a message and then there's a meta message, and I don't want to be in a slippery slope. Understanding what Mr. Letourneau said, understanding what Mr. Meyer said, I'd like to sit with staff and talk with you all, because I am starting to kind of just hear in the ether, well, that's already been developed in the transition policy area, so it won't be transition policy anymore, and those types of things. And I realize that there are different issues, but we're having, we often mesh them in one conversation, and that for me is something that I'm concerned about. So I'd like to just have some of these conversations. So I appreciate my colleagues being willing to move this, and Ms. Popey's right, the December 6th meeting will be a long one. But if we want to, we can have a meeting December 22nd. That's what I thought. So back to Supervisor Popey for closing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the comments of my colleagues. I hope you all take the time to get any questions you have answered. Needless to say, the reason that we are creating these small area plans is so that we can ensure, number one, we're in compliance with state code, of course, to ensure that we are on legal solid footing, but more importantly, for those of you on the Finance Committee and dealing with the Fiscal Impact Committee and those type of things, this puts us in a position where we don't have to rework or redo our, say, longstanding capital and fiscal planning tools, or try and tailor them to each individual land use application as it were to come forward. And, of course, more importantly, this would ensure that in the basically the suburban policy area, that if someone brings forward a land use application, we would be able to continue to receive proffers such as the, you know, capital facility proffers, regional road contributions, et cetera, that would be associated with the impact of any new development. With that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, I do believe that wraps us up tonight at 7:33. Not bad. We are adjourned.